Bible says in James chapter 5, beginning with verse number 7, and pardon me for using a familiar passage of text. It says, be patient. Everybody say, be patient.
Be patient.
Therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce. Everybody say, precious produce. Of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain. Turn to somebody and say, do not complain. Y'all smell what's cooking? You smell what the Lord is cooking in here? It's all, it should be permeating from the pot of the Word of God right now. It's cooking. It is. Brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Two words. For this crowd, I want to give a topic that consists of simply two words. And I want you to look somebody in the face, and I want to give you time to find a real person to look at. I want to give you time. You got in mind who you're going to look at?
Yep.
And give them these two words.
Be patient.
I turn to somebody else and tell them the same thing. Be patient.
Be patient.
That's our love feast too. That's our love feast. Everybody participated this time. Amen. Glory to God. No psychosis. The world we live in capitalizes on impatience. We live in a society that wouldn't be doing as well as it's doing. We live in an economy that wouldn't really be doing as well as it's doing if it were not for impatient people. As a matter of fact, there's a whole market in our economy for people that don't want to wait. There are people that have jobs today because of people that don't want to wait. There's money that we spend, and there's a whole lot of money invested in dodging patience. It is so saturated in this society that we kind of use these things to distinguish the haves from the have-nots. As a matter of fact, it has happened so subtle that we don't even realize all of the opportunities that this society and this economy and the world we live in today snatches away from us to exercise patience. There's a way in this day and time where if you have enough money, you can buy your way out of being patient. As a matter of fact, at the airport, how many of you fly? Many of you may fly, some of you may have never flown. But the airports are notorious for long lines. Notorious for long lines. And if you don't get there early enough, the lines will stop you from catching your flight. It won't be that you didn't make it to the airport in time. It'll be that you made it in time, but the traffic in the airport is sometimes more dangerous than the traffic on the way. But every now and then, you're waiting in these lines, there's another line.
Yeah.
And this line seems to be moving faster than the other line. And this line is called the TSA pre-check. And so in order to get that, I started researching that. In order to get that, what you have to do is you have to go through an extensive background check. You have to give them your information. You almost have to give a limb, but it's very extensive. And then you go to the airport or wherever and you have a meeting and you confirm some of the information and then you pay $85. And if you pay your $85, you don't have to be patient at the airport. You don't have to suffer the patience of a long line because you bought your way out of being patient. Maybe you don't know. Maybe that doesn't help. Six Flags. The youth can go to Six Flags. As a matter of fact, our daughter goes to Six Flags, and every now and then, her friend, you know, she'll go with her friends, and we'll talk about how hot it is. And she said, she'll say, it's all right, because we're going to, I said, you're going to stand in those long lines in that heat? She'll say, it's all right. And the reason why it's all right is because somebody paid not to have patience, not to need to have patience. There's something you can buy that's called a speed pass. And what that does is it gives you an opportunity to dodge having to wait. And you can just go right past and watch people waiting. And I get it. This is a society, there's something that feels good when you can walk past and other people have to wait. Y'all not gonna be honest in here. Matter of fact, that something feels so good, I got me a TSA pre-check. And I did that because if I'm late at the airport, I don't need to be held up by lines. But the idea is, there's something that feels dignified when everybody's having to wait and you paid money so that you can dodge the wait. We live in a society that enables impatience. Even food. The health problems that a lot of people are having today is not because of bad food, it's because of impatience. Somebody said fast food is the problem. If fast food is the problem, then the deeper problem is impatience. Y'all missed that. If fast food is the problem, then the deeper problem is impatience. There's so much movement, so much busyness, so much clutter. Everybody's going and coming, and people don't have time anymore to sit down and experience the patience it takes to cook a meal. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fast food. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to help you to understand is we live in a society that does not enable patience. It feeds and enables impatience. As a matter of fact, this society and this world and this economy is built a lot of things on impatience. Everybody's looking for the faster processor on their phone. They're looking for the faster processor in their computer. They want the line where they don't have to wait. And impatience is a big market that if you're smart enough, you'll get in on the capitalization and you'll come up with a business that'll help somebody not have to wait on something and probably become an overnight millionaire because people don't like to wait. As a matter of fact, waiting and being patient has become so awkward that society has enabled just silent patience or enabled impatience that we take our phone with us so that we can not have the dead moments of patience. As a matter of fact, in conversations, we don't want the dead space where nobody's saying anything. So we bring our trusty phone so that there's always something going in our head. Our society feeds on impatience. Food even, as I just said. I had an opportunity to live 4 years in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And I thank God for that experience. That's East Texas, for those of you who don't know. It's the Piney Woods. And one thing about East Texas, there's a certain quality that East Texas people... Any East Texas people in the house today? Yeah. As a matter of fact, growing up in New York, I had never referred to that meal we eat after in the evening time. I never referred to it as anything but dinner. But in East Texas, they call it something called supper. And watch this. You had to just wait for supper. Any of the older folk know what I'm talking about? I grew up and caught the tail end of that. When mama would cook, guess what we had to do? We had to wait. As a matter of fact, I remember the time we didn't have a microwave. We had to be patient and just downright wait. And I've learned that you'll never get the same quality of food from a microwave that you get if you just wait for the supper. But the world feeds our insatiable appetite to not have to wait. Some of you are in marriages right now that you're thinking twice about because you couldn't wait. So watch this. We live in this society. Believe it or not, I just want to drop one nugget on you. One verse we're going to deal with. We live in this society that feeds our impatience, that capitalizes on it, that tells us we don't have to wait. And we come to the kingdom, and we're added to the kingdom. And we're converted to Christ, and we're introduced to a book that talks differently than society does. Society says you don't have to wait. You can pay your way out of having patience. We come to this text, and the first words in this text, be patient. It's almost as if God is saying yes to this day and time. Yes, there are some things you can buy your way out of, and you can buy your way out of waiting on, and if you got enough money and you got enough clout and you know the right person, you can get things faster. I can't keep up with this technology because there's always something faster coming up. And this society says no, there are ways you can get around waiting. But at the end of the day, God says something about waiting that we cannot die. He simply says, be patient. Wait. God does not enable our impatience. And while we can buy our way out of a long line at the airport, or out of the long line at Six Flags, or we can buy our way to quicker food with a microwave, and we can do things to manipulate the fact that having to wait, God presents us some things in our lives that does not and cannot be paid off of having to wait on. And so he simply says, here's a quality, here's an attribute, be patient. It makes sense now why there's a generation, and each generation gets less and less patient. Each generation has to wait less and less for things in society, less and less for things out in this world today. And when you have to wait less and less and less and less and less for things, guess what happens? You end up with an abnormal expectation of life. And God has a way of pressing the patience button and says, yes, yes, it came fast in every other area, but there are some things you are just going to have to wait on. And in this text, James, talking to Jews that were scattered abroad, he simply says, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Now, the coming of the Lord can mean the second coming of Christ, and more than likely that's what it means, wait till the Lord comes. But guess what? There is a more immediate coming of the Lord, and that's the coming of God visiting your situation. It's called the visitation in Hebrews. It's the thing where you're waiting for the Lord to enter your situation, even though His presence is there. We're waiting for the Lord's involvement in our situation. We're waiting for the Lord's involvement in our messed up relationship. We're waiting for the Lord's involvement in our financial situation. We are waiting. And guess what? James says, be patient for the coming of the Lord. He is not slack concerning His promise, Peter said, which means we cannot rush God like we can rush TSA. We cannot rush God like we can rush Six Flags. We cannot rush God like we can rush a meal. We have to just downright be what? Be patient. Then he uses an agricultural example. I want you to pay attention. This was a very relevant example to those people who lived back then. Maybe not as relevant to us today. He uses the example of a farmer. He says, behold the farmer. Now watch, here's some points that's going to rattle some of you. Some points that's going to rattle some of us. He says, be patient. He says, behold the farmer. The farmer waits for the what? Precious produce. James is being very deliberate. He's waiting for the precious produce. The value that you have on what you're waiting for motivates your patience. When you don't value what you're waiting for, you're not motivated to wait for it. As a matter of fact, you can tell a person's entire value system by what they're willing to be patient over. Because when you don't feel like the thing you're waiting on is worth it, you face the threat of losing your patience. That's why some of you ain't kicked your kids out the house yet. Because you value your children. If you want to know if a person values you, look at how patient they are with you. Because the reason why the farmer waits is because he values and he sees the value of the produce. And when you don't value the produce, you don't have motivation to wait. Your patience will be regulated by the value of what you're waiting for. That's why patience and faith lock arms. Patience and faith lock arms and are married together. You know why? Because when you stop believing, you lose hope. And when you lose hope, there is no incentive to wait. Farmers wait because they know there's something that's going to come from this soil that's going to make my wait worth it. And the reason why patience is such a challenge for so many people today is because their value system is twisted and nothing is worth waiting for. Oh my God, my God. Do you hear what God is saying? There are some things we have to deem as worth being patient for. And he calls the produce precious. It's not here yet, but it's precious. It's not here yet, but I'll spend time in the scorching hot sun because what's coming is precious. It's not here yet, so I'll sweat and I'll labor and I'll toil and I'll get dirty and gritty and I'll get my hands dirty and I'll get sun scorched and sunburned because whatever I'm looking for is so precious that it's worth everything and all of the things I'm doing in my wait, in my patience. That's how you know when people are quick to give up on you and not be patient with you. It is because at some point they see that the value of what is possible is not worth what's being waited on. Does that make sense to anybody up in here? And so patience begins with a value system. It begins by saying, whatever God is telling me to wait on, I've got to believe it's worth what I'm being patient for. Because when you stop believing that it's worth it, You'll burn out in your patience. And if the devil can convince you that there is no value on what you're waiting on, then he can rob you of your patience. And there's no tool in the kingdom like an impatient child of God for the devil. One of the greatest tools the devil uses is impatience. Because impatience leads to premature decisions. How many decisions have you made and I made and we all have made because we didn't want to wait? So he says, the precious produce. Now I got to tell you, this is gonna sting a little bit. That patience, true patience, comes with the acceptance of no longer being in control. If you don't accept that you're not in control, you're waiting, but you're not being patient. You're waiting because of circumstance, but you're not being patient. And one of the hardest things for us as people is to accept when we no longer have control. As a matter of fact, it becomes so hard that one of the things we do to regain control, and one of the tools, greatest tools we learn even as children, is we learn manipulation. As a matter of fact, behavior, human behavior, is wired to use manipulation to gain control, because if I can gain control, I can gain control of the wind. If I can control the what, I can control the wind. And when I say wind, I'm not talking about W-I-N-D. I'm saying if I can control the W-H-A-T, I can control the W-H-E-N. And so we use manipulation to control the what. And sometimes the what is a person. Oh, come on in this house. Y'all mighty quiet on me. I must have struck a chord. Ding. Manipulation as a tool to gain control, to avoid having to wait. That's why so many people say, let me speak to the manager. That's a manipulation. This food is taking too long. Let me talk to the manager. But what happens when the person you're talking to says, I am the manager. Has anyone ever been in this situation where someone's taking too long? Can I speak to the supervisor? I mean, even Christians get nasty over impatience. Amen. Might as well tell all of us at some point have gotten real nasty because of our impatience. Let me just speak to the supervisor, please. No, excuse me, I don't want to talk to you. Supervisor, please. Supervisor. There ain't nothing super about you. One of the most disappointing things is to find out that the person you're talking to is the supervisor. Well, I've come to tell you, we better get ready, because when it comes to the things of God, if you were to ask God, let me see your supervisor, the manager, I am the supervisor, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So with God, you just gotta buckle down and be.
Yes, sir.
Why am I saying acceptance of not being in control? Look at the farmer. Look at the elements that he has no control over. Look, we're just dealing with this verse. Watch this. He says, he values the end product. He values the end product, which suggests that his patience is being regulated by the value of the reward of that patience. He believes, watch how faith and patience work together. He believes that his patience will end with something more valuable than the patience he paid to get it. Are you understanding this? The produce is precious. It's worth it. And watch this. When people do not value the same thing you do, they don't understand your patience. I just need to stop there. When people do not value what you value, they can't fathom your patience. How many of you don't fish? Raise your hand if you don't fish. You don't like the fish. That's it. You eat fish, but don't give me no pole. Don't give me no pole. Well, if you don't like fishing, then you don't value why somebody would go to the pier or go to the lake, sit out there all day long. Do you know why? Your value of that fish is different from theirs. And because your value is different and theirs from yours, and they have a higher value, they want what they're waiting for bad enough to wait. When you don't want what they're waiting on bad enough to wait, you don't understand why they're waiting on what they're waiting on. We go on the men's retreat every year. And you got brothers that stay in the cabin. Because the men's retreat is a fish fry. But we don't always have enough fish from the market. So you end up with brothers that stay in the cabin and brothers that are out on the water. Brother Fleming is here. Brother Fleming will stay out there all day long. Whew, you stayed out there. It's hot out there. Why is it that that doesn't make sense to somebody that doesn't like fishing? Because what he's waiting on doesn't have the same value. Thus, you can't fathom why he's waiting on it. Hello? Even in relationships.
Come on.
If I was married to her, if I was married to him, I'd be through. Oh, I knew I was going to get close. See, y'all messed up by just sitting there looking like a photograph. Now y'all trying to turn into a video. No, it's too late. I'm preaching to a photograph still. Relationships. You don't understand why he put up with that much. Why she put up with that much. I wouldn't do it. Of course you wouldn't do it. Because she doesn't mean as much to you as she means to me. And vice versa. You wouldn't do it. Because you don't value. Thus you won't wait. So when somebody says they won't wait on you, they're making a statement about how much they what? Oh, y'all see it. I got to get done. Whew. So much in this. Watch the elements that are out of his control. What is he waiting on? Number one, he's waiting for the soil to produce. Right? Precious produce of the soil. Which means that farmers don't make plants grow. Out of his control. What else is he waiting on? Look at the last part of the verse. Being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. So the soil, watch this. He can't even get the soil ready until the early rain. Let me help you understand what that is. The early rain softened the soil. So a farmer, watch this. The only thing the farmer comes initially to a plot of land with is patience and a seed. But somehow, some way, God turns patience and a seed into dinner on the table. I'm here to tell you today If you have patience in a seed, you can go much further. Trusting God with your patience and a seed when you embrace that there are some things you can't control. He couldn't control the rain. He couldn't control what happened under the soil. So he just has to be what? In this process, Mountain View, of making this transition, we've tried all of the manipulative tricks we could. And it's funny because the next two verses basically talks about what happens when people are losing the patience battle. When you're losing the battle of patience and your faith and your patience are in conflict, and your patience and your faith have filed for divorce, you get one last product. The last rendezvous, the last love child between patience and faith before they break up is a little baby called frustration. And when your patience and your faith are in turmoil, it leads to frustration. And then when you're frustrated, you have the humanistic way of doing things is finding somebody to blame, not for why it's not happening, but for why you can't wait for it. We cloak it in why it's not happening. We look for somebody to blame. How come we're not further along as we are? How come we didn't do this? How come we didn't do this? How come this didn't sell? What we're looking for is somebody to blame, but what we're doing is we're really covering up the real problem. Whenever you start going into a frustration with other people and you're in conflict out of frustration with other people, you are looking to blame them, but they are not the problem. The problem is not that they're not moving fast enough or that they hindered it. The problem is you have run out. It's right here in the text. We're going to end with this. That's why he says in verse number 9, do not complain. Do not complain how? Don't complain against one another. Because the first thing that we're inclined to do when things are not moving fast enough and we're tired of waiting and we no longer can wait and it's not happening fast enough, you're not changing fast enough, I've manipulated you and stimulated you to change and nothing's moving. You're not, come on, do it, do it, do it. And then when you look up and time has passed, instead of blaming the fact that you're not patient, you blame someone else's slowness. And we even subconsciously do that with God. That's why the scripture exists. 2 Peter, God is not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering toward us. It isn't that God is not going to do what he's promised. He's just long-suffering. And sometimes our impatience cause us to settle for meanwhile substitutions that have a way of clinging to us after we're done with them. Let me say that again. You guys walk with, so I'm gonna let y'all come in. I'm gonna stop because y'all got the swag. Y'all all right? Back to our regular scheduled program. Meanwhile, decisions. Have you ever made a decision in between? That didn't go away when you got where you were going. That is the ploy of the devil. And sometimes he'll cause us to make a decision And because he knows the pride we have, because he contributed to the pride we have, he knows if he can get us to make a meanwhile decision, our pride will not allow us to go back and correct it. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all mighty quiet. Oh, I must be thugging it now. We have too much pride. I got mad at Tim. I wasn't patient on Tim. I was upset with Tim. This is an example, Tim. Calm down. I said, I know we're going to, well, it'll work itself out. But instead of being patient, I killed him with my tongue. I talked about him. I slandered him, scandalized his name in my frustration. Suddenly things got back okay. But now that things have gone back okay, I cannot allow us to be okay. And the reason why I can't allow us to be okay, even though things are okay, is because while I was impatient and working and operating in frustration, I did some things and said some things that would make me look bad if we're okay again. And if I don't have the humility to go back and make it right, the devil will lock you in. And you'll be standing, watch this, you'll be standing in a field that's been watered by rain, but your meanwhile decisions stop you from planting the seed. You will die on the very field that could have fed you because of impatience. So one thing you and I have to learn to do is have humility and learn when it's time to let go. Learn when it's time to understand and accept I have no more control. I can't control him. I can't control her. And let me tell you something. Telling somebody something is not going to do it. Because we have children. And there's nothing more frustrating. Not only children, but people. It's nothing more frustrating than telling somebody something. And then years later, they saying, you know what? I come up with this idea. Oh, you came up with that idea? And some of us get frustrated because we wanted them to get it 5 years ago. Some of us get frustrated with people because we wanted them to come to Christ 5 years ago. But here's the part you have no control of. You can control you, but you can't control me. You can control what you tell people, but you cannot control if and how they receive it. Only the Lord can change hearts. You just got to wait for the early and the later rain. How many of you are waiting on rain right now? I don't know what your situation is, but you've done all you can. You've talked all you're going to talk. You've gone as far as you can go. And when you've done that and put in all your work and put in all your time and put in all your talking and done all of your discussing and talked to everybody you're going to talk to about it, the only thing you have to learn to do is accept that there's nothing more that you can do. Don't you know some of us, God is saying, I got the blessing right here, but you still think you're doing something. I want to give it to you, but you still think it's you. You still trying to be in control of it. And if I give it to you now, you'll walk away thinking you are in control. So I'm going to wait till you finally accept that you've done all you can do. I stay with this lesson because we're in this transition, and I know these seats, some of them are uncomfortable. I didn't know some of you could dance like you do until we got these seats. Y'all been dancing sitting down. Some of y'all, you praise leaders think it's the singing. No, it's not just the singing. It's a collaborative effort between the singing and the seats. Some of y'all standing and praising. No, you trying to get relief. I'm going to stand for Jesus. No, you're going to stand for your back side too. I know we've been waiting. I know you're tired. There's technology that we don't have because we're in this in between. I really don't like this. I don't like this. Because there's some people in the back I want to talk to. There's some people way over there I want to talk to, right? No screen. We're just in this weird, uncomfortable in-between. And frustration starts setting in because we feel like we've been here too long. And I'll tell you, I can speak for the leaders, that frustration has even eased into the leadership. Where it's like, well, who's not talking to who? Who's not talking? We need to make sure leadership and the secretary, everybody's doing what they're doing. Oh, that's not probably. Because I'm going to tell you something. Impatience will make you look out of yourself and look at other people as the problem.
That's right.
There are some couples that are struggling right now playing the blame game, but it's really your patience. And the reason why you cannot have patience is because you're trying to have patience and control. And you cannot successfully hold and cling to both patience and control. As soon as you grab control or the illusion of it, you begin losing your patience. As soon as you hold on to your patience, you submit and surrender control. Some of us want to have patience and control, but they don't get along. They're going east and west. You'll start exercising patience when you stop trying to exercise control. And so we're at a place, Mountain View. We're at a place. Well, all we can do is wait for the early and the later rain. Is there anybody in here just, you've done it all, you've made all the phone calls, you're just waiting for the early and the later rain? I'm here to tell you, God knows. He knows you're tired. You don't think God knows? He sees you. He doesn't just see you in worship. He sees you on the job. He sees you in the car. And he knows that you're tired. He knows. But because God knows us so much, he knows that when we say we're ready, we're talking about desire. And so what God says is, since you're ready, I'm going to let you be prepared by your patience. Because you can be ready for something that you're not prepared for. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. You can be ready for something that you're not prepared for. And it is the fact that God knows us and loves us so much that causes God to allow us to stay in the limbo of being patient. Because the patience that you acquire and sharpen in the in-between, you're going to need when you get what you're praying for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you are ready to make the move? Wow. I made a dangerous assumption. What is that, 1%? How many of you are ready to get out of these hard chairs? Okay, that means you're ready to make the move. That's the only way you're going to get out of it. Thank you, Brother Bill. Two hands and a stand up. Thank you, Brother Bill. You ready to get out of these chairs, right? Impatience can make you want to go back. Can make you to feel like progress was a bad idea. But how many of you know that this move doesn't mean relaxation? This move means more work. You don't get it? That's why we got ministry leaders and teaching ministry, because this move don't mean just better people. When we reduce our in-between place to something tangible, we are missing the big picture. We are missing the big picture. You're waiting for a better job. Man, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for a job. Maybe there's somebody, I know that I've talked to a few of you that you haven't had a job. Something happened, they laid off months and months ago, and you've been months without a job. You're ready for a job, but are you prepared for the hours? Because you don't get to have the same flexibility and then have a job. Are you ready for the job, but are you prepared for the responsibility? Sometimes some of the things we're rushing to, we're ready for, but we're not prepared. And praise God. He says, I'm going to strengthen your patience. Now, everybody stand to your feet. It's praying time. This is what I want. This is what we want. We're going to do it. We're going to do it different. Don't even worry about coming down to the front. We don't need anybody coming down to the front today unless you want to give your life to Jesus. And I know the tradition is do the five steps. Do the five steps. And you know, here we are, just a bunch of us. Pray that the souls will ask, what must I do to be saved? Are we bringing the souls to ask that? I'm tired of just doing things because we've always done them. I'm not, sorry, that's not me. This is what I want. This is what we want. Okay? Because sometimes the coming down thing can be a little formal. We want you to turn in. That's what we want. We're not turning up, we're turning in. And we want you to partner up right now, because I'm not going to ask if there's somebody here that's having trouble. No, we all do. There's something all of us are waiting on, and it's not coming like we think it ought to come, or something all of us have been waiting on, but we wish we can control the early and the latter rain.